Welcome to the debate. The subject we're diving into today is the extremely rigorous and I think often intimidating etiquette surrounding the authentic Japanese ramen shop experience. It's a culture the source material really elevates from just a meal into something more like an obsession or even a religion.
And that reverence, it manifests in what the text calls the formidable barrier. For anyone who's a novice visitor, this means a whole sequence of these high-pressure hurdles. You have to navigate the confusing ticket machine, which, you know, demands cash and this esoteric top-left rule. Then there's the unrelenting pressure for speed, and of course, the incredibly precise counter-etiquette demanded by the chefs, who are often shouting. It's an immersion experience, not just a lunch break.
Absolutely. But within this very strict code, we find our central point of contention today, the mandatory requirement to make the zuru-zuru sound, the slurp, while eating the noodles. Our debate really centers on the primary driver behind this. Is this mandatory slurping primarily driven by, say, functional, scientific factors, flavor and temperature optimization? Or is it fundamentally driven by social and communicative factors, you know, as a required signal of respect and appreciation?
I come at it from a different way. I mean, I can't deny the physical advantages of the slurp, but I contend that the mandatory nature of the act, the fact that silence is literally forbidden, places the behavior firmly in the realm of social obligation. It is, first and foremost, required communication.
And I will be arguing that the science behind that slurp, the immediate, quantifiable sensory optimization it provides, is the undeniable core driver. The social acceptance, well, it merely encourages the technical execution you need to maximize the culinary enjoyment of a product that's degrading fast and is intensely hot. So function precedes social form.
That's where we diverge, because the intensity of that mandate really suggests the opposite.
My position holds that the rules exist because they rigorously protect the quality and the optimal experience of the food. The source material gives us two distinct critical functional justifications. The first is immediate temperature control. Ramen is served, and I quote, boiling hot, and slurping provides an instantaneous cooling mechanism. It pulls in cool air with the noodles, protecting your tongue and crucially allowing for quick consumption.
Right, that is certainly a necessary physical defense mechanism. It lets you engage with the food without injury.
But the second function is to me far more compelling. It connects this technique directly to, you know, sophisticated culinary principles. The text explicitly draws a parallel to wine tasting, noting that aeration, which you achieve by pulling air across the noodles and broth, forces the rich broth's aroma directly into the nasal passage. This process of retronasal olfaction, it causes the flavor to explode. So when you have an action that dramatically and immediately improves the physical quality of the experience, by cooling the food and fundamentally enhancing the flavor, that physical necessity has to be the foundational reason for the rule. The chef demands the slurp because it's the only way to correctly taste their craft.
That's a compelling argument based on sensory input, I'll give you that, but I think you're overlooking the intent behind the mandate. I acknowledge the cooling, I acknowledge the aeration, but the source material's emphasis on the noise transforms the act from a personal technique into a social contract. The material doesn't just suggest slurping, it dictates it. It says, in a ramen shop, silence is the enemy. You must slurp. And critically, the explanation given is entirely social. Make noise, it tells the chef. This is delicious.
But if the noise is a natural, necessary byproduct of the flavor-maximizing technique, doesn't that just reinforce my point? I mean, the most efficient way to achieve maximum aeration and temperature control requires drawing the air in quickly, which inherently produces that sound. So the social mandate just aligns with the functional necessity.
That would be true if the noise were merely an accepted byproduct. But the definitive statement that silence is the enemy suggests the required output is the audible feedback itself, independent of any personal sensory benefit. This social signaling is just inextricably linked to the broader, strict counter etiquette, which is all focused on demonstrating efficiency and respect.
Okay, how so? Connect those dots for me.
Well, look at the system as a whole. You have to eat fast and leave as soon as you are done, because the noodles absorb the soup and lose texture. That's a food quality issue, yes, but the speed is enforced as a sign of respect for the next customer and for the chef's efficient operation. Then you have the cleanup rituals. Lifting the empty bowl and glass onto the high ledge and using the deck and cloth to wipe your space clean. None of those cleanup rituals are about making your food taste better. They are purely social mechanisms to show consideration. The slurp is simply the communicative mechanism required during consumption. It's the real-time, mandatory signal of approval, just like the required shout of Gochisama-sama Deshita when you leave.
I see why you emphasize the cultural components, but let's go back to the sophisticated function of aeration. If we focus purely on the transferable culinary principle, that flavor explosion via forced aromatics, the rule exists to ensure the consumer experiences the product exactly as the chef designed it, right at its peak moment. If the slurp achieves a flavor enhancement akin to decanting a fine wine, the technique is inherently about quality delivery, not just social appeasement.
I'm still not quite sold on that hierarchy, though. If the goal were purely efficient sensory optimization, why must this aeration be loud enough to constitute noise that actively breaks the silence, especially given how respectful Japanese dining typically is? A quiet, effective aeration could, theoretically, achieve the flavor results for the diner without broadcasting it across the counter. The fact that the volume, the zuru-zuru, is mandatory and that silence is explicitly forbidden indicates that the true required output is the audible signal directed outward. It prioritizes social signaling over simple physiological advantage. The volume is the point of communication.
But again, I have to argue that the volume ensures the maximum amount of air is introduced, therefore achieving that flavor explosion in the very limited time you have before the noodles soften. The physical requirements of getting optimal flavor and temperature simultaneously under time pressure necessitate a robust, fast intake of air, which just naturally creates noise. The sound is the functional indicator that the correct technique is being used.
That's where I'd pivot. Let's zoom out and look at the priority of efficiency. The entire entry sequence, the ticket machine barrier, the cash-only rule, the golden rule of speed, it's all designed for maximizing shop efficiency and demonstrating respect for this high-pressure environment where the chefs are shouting. This structure is a social contract. I would argue that slurping is simply the consumption phase compliance mechanism, a visible and audible demonstration that you are actively engaging with the speed mandate and you are not lingering.
That's a compelling argument, but have you considered the physical necessity that enables that speed? Ramen, as we've established, is served boiling hot, straight from the fire. Without the immediate, aggressive cooling effect you get from slurping, eating at the mandated golden rule speed to avoid the noodles degrading would be physically agonizing or virtually impossible.
I do concede the cooling function is necessary for speed.
Exactly. Therefore, the culinary function, temperature control, is the physical necessity that facilitates the social goal of speed and efficiency. The functional aspect has to be primary because the social demand for speed cannot be met without the prerequisite functional technique. You literally can't obey the speed rule unless you execute the slurp.
I see that argument, but I'm still unconvinced that the functional technique is the core driver. Let's look at the barrier system again, which you mentioned is designed to protect the quality and the speed of the food. I submit that this phrase, yes, it encompasses the functional elements, but it fundamentally prioritizes the environmental and social integrity of the shop, not just the noodles themselves.
I agree with the quote, but my interpretation holds that slurping protects the product's integrity. By ensuring the proper temperature and aeration, the rules safeguard the product's maximum potential flavor. It's a functional mechanism to safeguard the product's quality.
I'm sorry, I just don't buy that. That the quality protection is purely about the food. Let's look at the other components that protect quality. Consider the top left rule on the vending machine. The source material implies this rule exists because the chef wants to steer you to the most popular item, or the one they're most proud of, or simply the fastest one to make. This rule is a psychological filter. It's a subtle exercise of control over the customer's choice and pace designed to reward serious, efficient diners and protect the flow of the shop.
That has nothing to do with physics or flavor perception.
But the top left rule facilitates speed, which in turn protects the texture of the noodles for the other customers waiting in line. It's still functional for the shop's overall product.
But the social components, like wiping the counter with a Dakin cloth, they don't protect the food quality. They protect the environment and the chef's time. Slurping, as a mechanism to tell the chef this is delicious, protects the chef's sense of craft and commitment. It validates their long, demanding work in a high-pressure kitchen. So the barrier protects the integrity of the experience and the relationship between customer and chef, making the social dimension crucial. It's not enough to just cool the soup. You must audibly confirm that the chef's efforts were successful.
I would argue that the required volume is merely the chef's way of monitoring compliance with the necessary technical action. If the slurp were quiet, the chef couldn't confirm you were properly aerating and cooling the soup, and thus couldn't confirm you were properly appreciating the product they labored over. It all circles back to protecting the food's peak sensory moment.
I mean, that's a clever way to frame it, but it minimizes the weight of the communication mandate. If I ate quietly but perfectly wiped my station with the Dakin cloth, paid cash instantly, and left at the mandated speed, I would fulfill every single social obligation except the audible feedback. That failure to make the 00 sound, despite perfect execution of all other rules, would be seen as a failure of appreciation. This demonstrates that the sound itself, the communication, is the non-negotiable metric.
I think we agree that the technique is both functional and social, but I still place the initial, foundational reason in the physics of taste. The strength of my position rests on the explicit, scientific justifications given in the source. Cooling the boiling hot soup and flavor aeration through a technique comparable to wine tasting. These are direct, undeniable mechanisms for achieving an optimal sensory outcome. And the resulting technique is necessarily aggressive and noisy. The direct improvement of sensory input is the core driver around which the social requirement is built.
And the strength of my position is the elevation of the technique from a personal choice to a binding social law. The material's explicit declaration that silence is the enemy and that the noise communicates appreciation demonstrates that slurping is elevated beyond a personal culinary choice. It is a mandatory social ritual that fully integrates the customer into the high-pressure rhythm and demanding structure of the shop's etiquette. The noise is a mandatory signal of respect, reinforcing the entire system of efficiency from the vending machine all the way to the counter wipe.
This discussion really illuminates the intricate and often contradictory relationship between culinary science and stringent cultural mandates. The slurp is the critical point where function and social necessity collide.
Indeed. The world of authentic ramen is profoundly defined by these strict rules. And considering the absolute physical necessity of cooling the product alongside the deep cultural commitment to nonverbal feedback is required to fully appreciate it. The question remains, which factor the chef truly prioritizes when issuing the command, your safety or their validation?